Hello and welcome to Weekly Dev Tips. I'm Steve Smith, aka Ardalis. This is episode 9, where I'll be sharing some more tips on data transfer objects. I introduced this topic in the previous episode, so you'll probably want to listen to that one first. Incidentally, I recommend listening to these tips from the beginning, rather than most recent first, since I will occasionally refer back to previous tips. You should be able to configure your podcast app to autoplay this podcast in chronological order. At least I know you can in the default iOS podcast app. Don't forget, you can also follow Weekly Dev Tips on Twitter and provide feedback or ask a question there. Also, check out this episode's sponsor, DevIQ. DevIQ offers online training for software developers and designers, and my own course on ASP.NET Core is also available there. Check it out at deviq.com. Now let's get back into our discussion of data transfer objects that we began last week. A data transfer object is an object whose purpose is simply to transfer data from one place to another. One thing that might be considered as behavior by some is the idea of using a static factory method in order to map the object from one type to another. It's fairly common to need to map to a DTO from another type, such as an entity. If you're doing this in several places, it's also a good idea to consolidate this mapping code in one place. A static factory method on the DTO is a common approach to this. Note that this isn't really adding behavior to the DTO because it doesn't exist on an instance. Rather, it's just a static helper method that we're putting on the DTO type for organizational purposes. I usually name such methods with a from prefix, such as from customer, and then accept in a customer type. This would return a customer DTO type. There's a simple example in the show notes for episode 9 that shows how to do this. You can also use a tool like AutoMapper, which will eliminate the need to use such static factory methods in most cases. I usually quickly end up moving to AutoMapper if I have more than a few of these mapping methods that I need to write myself. Now, I've mentioned that you shouldn't have behavior inside your DTOs, but what about attributes? It's common in ASP.NET MVC apps to use attributes from the system.componentModel.dataAnnotations namespace to decorate model types for validation purposes. For example, you can add a required attribute to a property, and during model binding, if that property isn't there, an error will be added to a collection of validation errors. Since these attributes don't impact your ability to work with the class as a DTO, and since typically the DTO is tailor-made for the purpose of doing this binding, I think it's perfectly reasonable to use these attributes for this purpose. You can rethink this decision if at some point the attributes start to cause you some kind of pain. I highly recommend that you follow pain-driven development. If something hurts, take a moment to analyze and correct the problem. Otherwise, keep on delivering value to your customers and don't get hung up on whether or not your design is perfect or completely elegant. If you're not a fan of attribute-based validation, you can use fluent validation and define your validation logic using a fluent interface in a separate class. You'll find a link to more information in the show notes. Another tip is that you want to keep your DTOs pure. Avoid referencing non-DTO or primitive types from your DTOs. If you have properties in your DTO that refer to non-primitive, non-DTO types, such as entities, this can pull in dependencies that can make it difficult to secure your DTO. In some cases, it can introduce security vulnerabilities, such as if your methods accept input as DTOs, and these DTOs reference entities that your app is directly updating in the database. An attacker might be able to guess at the structure of the entity and perhaps its navigation properties, and could add or update data outside the bounds of what you thought you were accepting. Take care in your update operations to only update specific fields, rather than model binding an entity object from external input and then saving it using Entity Framework or another object relational mapper where you don't necessarily know exactly what is being saved. Now let's wrap up with some quick do's and don'ts for data transfer objects. First, don't hide the default constructor. You're going to want to be able to simply instantiate a DTO, especially if you're going to be able to get it back from some kind of a deserialization process using JSON or XML or something similar. Do, make all the properties available via public getter and setter methods. A DTO is not the place for you to try and use encapsulation and hide the underlying state of the object. The object state should just be hanging on its sleeve. Don't validate inputs to a DTO. Validation isn't a concern of a DTO and should live somewhere else. Don't add instance methods to your DTO. Data transfer objects are not supposed to have behavior, and these methods represent some kind of behavior in the DTO. Keep it just to the properties. Do think about consolidating mapping logic into static factory methods. These static factories could live anywhere, but it's common to place them on the DTO so that you can have them where you expect to find them in your application. Note that this doesn't really violate the rule of not putting behavior on DTOs, since the DTO instance does not actually have any behavior. Do consider moving to using a tool like AutoMapper if you find that you have more than a few such factory methods and it becomes cumbersome to write them and update them over time. Do feel free to use attributes to help with model validation in your DTOs. But if you don't like validation attributes, you can use another tool such as Fluent Validation. Finally, don't reference non-DTO types, such as entities, especially entities, from your DTOs. This can introduce problems with serialization and can also open up your app to security issues if you're doing a particular type of update or add operation and you accept these model objects directly with their entities and then try and persist them using an ORM tool like Entity Framework. That's it for this week. I hope you found these tips useful. Thanks for listening. Please consider leaving a review wherever you're listening to this podcast to help us reach more of an audience. See you next time on weeklydevtips.com.